Good morning. My name is Amina Kell, and along with my colleagues from the Non-Volatile Systems Lab at the University of California, San Diego, Adrian Caulfield, Todor Malov, Professor Rajesh Gupta, and my advisor, Professor Steven Swanson, we'd like to present Onyx, our prototype phase change memory storage array. While I'm now employed at Micron, the views herein are the views of the authors and not the views of Micron directly. To our knowledge, Onyx is not only the first publicly demonstrated PCM storage array, but it is also the fastest PCM storage array in existence in the world. In this talk, I'll present some information about the PCM technology as a whole, a little bit about the Onyx architecture, and some performance analysis in comparison with other SSDs. So recently, flash has been the vanguard for changes in solid-state storage. It has provided for very significant improvements in I/O performance. This graph shows operation latencies in microseconds for both writes and reads in different non-volatile technologies. Current generation PCM improves upon that, especially in terms of reads. Because of this performance benefit in terms of reads, we feel that it's important to study PCM in a storage system. Future generation PCM in research is already predicted to go ahead and scale perform much better over time. So we built Onyx to understand current generation PCM inside of a current storage structure, and so that we may compare this storage structure to other non-volatile technologies like flash-based SSDs. We've also understood that PCM performance can differ in the real world versus simulation. For instance, variance in write latency for PCM depends very highly on the data being written. Also, where our characteristics in PCM may affect performance. We're also able to use a real system like Onyx to use real applications to make this comparison and to understand how software in systems may have to change to take advantage of PCM. We're also able to integrate future generation PCM easily and make the same comparisons. I provided a little bit of information as to why we built Onyx and why we feel Onyx should be examined at this time. And next, I'll provide some overview on the PCM technology, including the PCM chips which we used in Onyx. Next, I'll provide some overview as to what our architecture looks like, starting with the logical architecture, the PCM DIMMs which we built in our system, and the physical architecture on which Onyx runs. Next, I'll provide some information on the performance analysis test that we ran and the other devices we compared Onyx to. Finally, I'll provide some applications for current and future generation PCM, and then I will conclude. So at the device level, PCM stores data by changing the molecular phase of dots of chalcogenide printed on the metal layer of an IC. The resistance of this chalcogenide is what stores data non-volatilely. In one of the figures on the right, there's a lithograph of a PCM cell. What's labeled there with a 40 nanometer width is actually a heater, which is attached to the chalcogenide area, which is heated up by passing high current through it and then affecting the phase change in the material. This organization allows for bit alterable writes, which is unlike the architecture that NAND flash uses. In order to read in PCM, a device has to measure the resistance across the chalcogenide, which is measured by measuring the amount of current that flows through that chalcogenide over a period of time. The diagram here on the right shows a state transition from one of the states, an amorphous state, to a crystalline state in PCM. This also serves to illustrate the large resistance difference between the two states, amorphous and crystalline. In order to write to PCM, the material has to go through a couple different operations, both a reset and a set. In order to reset a bit in PCM, or to set it to a logical zero state, the chalcogenide has to be heated in excess of 600 degrees Celsius and cooled very quickly to form an amorphous state. In order to produce a set operation, or a logical one, the chalcogenide has to be heated to 350 degrees Celsius and cooled over a period of time in order to form a crystalline state. Literature suggests that future PCM should perform like DRAM. Reads should be on the order of 50 nanoseconds, and writes set and reset operations should perform between 40 and 150 nanoseconds per operation. PCM has already been released in 90 nanometer process sizes and is expected to scale, is already on roadmaps of certain industrial individuals to 40 and 45 and 32 nanometers. It's been tested in research to go down to 20 nanometers, and bodies like the ITRS and other researchers suggest that it should go down to 9 nanometers. Our device, Onyx, uses Micron's first-generation NOR flash replacement PCM, the P8P PCM. It runs at a 90-nanometer process size, and it has a capacity of 16 megabytes per device. In order to affect the fastest bandwidth for per device, writes have to occur in 64-byte chunks, which require 120 microseconds to complete, which shows a total bandwidth of half a megabyte a second per device. Reads, for the same way, require 16-byte writes, which require 314 nanoseconds, which has a maximum read bandwidth per device at just under 50 megabytes a second. Like flash, PCM has a limited lifetime, and its lifetime per bit within PCM is a million writes until the first bit error begins to occur. Next, I'll provide some more information on the Onyx architecture, starting with the logical architecture. So Onyx is based upon work, based upon the architecture of the Moneta SSD. It's a DRAM-based non-volatile SSD emulator, which uses DRAM to emulate next-generation memories. It consists, as the figure on the left shows, of a hardware portion which connects via PCI Express to a host machine. That host machine has a software stack running on it. That software stack is optimized for both decreased request latency and improved request concurrency. We found that these are crucial in interacting efficiently with next-generation non-volatile memories. The architecture for Onyx is now shown on the left. It is, as I said, based upon Moneta in that it shares the same hardware and software stacks. However, we replaced the DRAM with real PCM. In order to effect that change, we had to design a custom PCM controller to interact with that PCM as well. Here's a diagram of the Moneta and Onyx high-level architectures. Please allow me to walk you through a write request in our system so I may demonstrate its function. So a host first sends a request via PCI Express as a PIO to the hardware. That is stored in a request queue, which is then funneled to a scoreboard when the system is ready. That scoreboard allocates the required state for it and allocates a set of transfer buffers to hold the data for this request. That data is then requested via DMA, and the data is then transferred via DMA and stored in the transfer buffers. When the system is ready, the transfer buffer streams that data for this request over a high-speed ring to the proper memory controller locations. These memory controllers then take that data and write it to the PCM array and then send back a write completion request back over the ring. This signals that the write has completed at that memory controller. That write completion request then is sent back to the scoreboard, clears the proper state for this request, and sets a set of tag status registers, which signal to the host that this request has completed. In the Onyx PCM controller, we have a few configuration parameters. First, we can vary the type of request completion that we can signal back to the scoreboard. First, let me explain late completion. So late write request completion is what I demonstrated in the previous example. When data is received at a memory controller, it must write all of the data that it receives to the PCM array before sending back a write completion notification. The other one is early completion. This takes the data, the memory controller receives the data over the ring, and then immediately sends back a write completion notification back to the scoreboard in parallel with writing this data to the PCM array. We're able to guarantee the consistency of this data by providing enough system-wide capacitance to complete any request which we send a completion notification for back across the ring. This is a similar technique to what high-end flash-based SSD manufacturers also use to extract performance from their systems. In order to combat the limited endurance of PCM and to manage wear, we use star gap wear leveling, which is a study that came out of IBM research. Basically, star gap wear leveling is a low overhead wear leveling technique, which uses a couple registers and a handful of logic in order to manage the wear on the PCM. Basically, it prevents a set of logical hotspots in an address space from affecting physical areas in the memory array. It does this by rotating at a memory controller, splitting up all of the splitting up the address space into a series of lines, and then rotating the logical to physical address mapping of those lines slowly over time. Here's a closer look at one of our PCM DIMMs. We built this device to have 8 ranks of 5 PCM devices per rank for an effective data width of 80 bits. 64 of those bits are for data storage, and 16 of those bits have been reserved for error correcting codes, or ECC, and other metadata that PCM may require. Since 2 of these devices interact with a single memory controller, each memory controller interacts or controls 16 PCM ranks. On a particular DIMM, the address lines and other various control lines are shared throughout the 40 devices on each DIMM. The data lines themselves are split, however, amongst every device position among all ranks in a DIMM. And since there are 40 devices at 16 megabytes per device, each DIMM has a capacity of 640 megabytes. The Onyx architecture runs on the B3 board, which is developed out of the RAMP project. The architecture for the B3 board is 4 FPGAs connected in a ring. Each FPGA controls 4 DIMM slots, which are populated with the PCM DIMMs, as shown in the figure on the right. One of these FPGAs then interacts with a host machine via PCI Express connection. Since there are 16 DIMMs per B3 board, each B3 system running Onyx contains 10 gigabytes of PCM. Next, I'll provide some comparisons of our system with other comparable systems. So our first benchmark is a very low-level I.O. benchmark, which uses 16 I.O. threads to perform low-level reads and writes against other systems. We compare our system to 2 other systems. First, the original Moneta DRAM-based system, and the Fusion.io I.O. Drive, which is a PCI Express attached flash-based SSD. This device has a capacity of 80 gigabytes, and we felt that this device is a good comparison point for a device like Onyx. Onyx, so we run this test over a range of request sizes, and those are listed in kilobytes on the x-axis. And the results are listed in terms of bandwidth in megabytes per second on the y-axis. So as you can see from these results, Onyx outperforms the Fusion.io flash-based SSD for all request sizes across the board. We attribute this, we actually like to point your attention to the fact that for small request sizes, Onyx outperforms the I.O. drive significantly, even more so at 512-byte requests, where Onyx outperforms the I.O. drive by up to 4x. We attribute this to the fact that the I.O. drive, as a flash-based system, has to use a very complex FTL in order to perform logical to physical mapping. A device like Onyx does not have to perform these things because PCM is not quite as complex as a technology. We also compare Onyx to the original Moneta DRAM results. And so for 512-byte requests again, Moneta actually outperforms Onyx by about 80%. And so this is actually very good for a not-so-mature technology like PCM, and future-generation PCM should help to push this number up as well. This graph shows the write performance of our system compared to the same 2 systems, with the exception that we've added a couple lines for Onyx here. One of them shows the early completion request for Onyx. The other one shows the late completion request, as I explained before. So the difference here between early and late completions is that early outperforms the late completion system by about 50 to 75 megabytes per second across the board. Comparing Onyx to the I.O. drive, Onyx outperforms the I.O. drive for requests between 512 bytes to 2K, once again for writes, as in reads. So for the same reason as in the read case, because of the lack of complexity for PCM-based technology, Onyx has outperformed Fusion.io here. However, for request sizes larger than 2K, Fusion.io, the I.O. drive, outperforms Onyx. We attribute this to the fact that the mature flash technology that the I.O. drive uses has a raw I.O. bandwidth much larger than that of the very new first-generation PCM devices that Onyx employs. Next-generation PCM should allow a device like Onyx to exceed the performance of a Fusion.io or a similar device. Moneta here shows upper bound for what, as in the Reed case, there's an upper bound for what the what Onyx can produce with future generation PCM. This benchmark shows real-world application performance for our system compared with the other two systems. So this is BerkeleyDB. It's a database application which allows the database that it stores to be stored in different ways depending on how it's used. So we use a B-tree organization and a hash table organization for BerkeleyDB. Those two benchmarks are shown on the x-axis, and the results for this are shown on the y-axis in terms of transactions per second. For the B-tree case, FusionIO outperforms Onyx by a relatively significant amount. However, in the hash table case, Onyx outperforms FusionIO for that for a similar amount. We found that BerkeleyDB is very sensitive to the configuration parameters of BerkeleyDB is very sensitive to the performance on our system, and we're still investigating what those effects on our system are. So we found that current generation PCM can be very successful as a read cache, as it's outperformed the I/O drive in all request sizes for reads. And we feel that next generation PCM should improve read performance, which should keep that trend. Future generation PCM should also replace DRAM in terms of high performance applications, as PCM cost is likely to drop below that of DRAM, and PCM should scale aggressively past DRAM. PCM should also outpace flash in terms of high-performance SSDs, as PCM has reduced complexity in terms of management, provides a higher rated lifetime. This should allow PCM-based devices to save power, logic, and design time when compared to flash-based devices. So in conclusion, we've designed Onyx, and we've shown that it was designed to maximize PCM performance. More improvements are going to be possible as PCM continues to scale. As the Moneta results show, the Onyx architecture should continue to scale with the PCM devices, and that it will benefit from faster reads and writes almost immediately. We've also shown that PCM simplifies SSD management in comparison to flash because of the absence of an FTL or flash translation layer, and improves small access performance as well, as a result, actually. Thank you very much, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Hi, my name is Andy Twigg. If you look at a lot of the work in sort of external memory algorithms, right, for writing to disks and SSDs, a lot of the head scratching, right, is that you have to block stuff together into 64K or whatever, and SSDs, like you said, make life harder. So you, in your talk, you said these PCM devices are byte addressable, or even bit addressable, maybe. Does that mean all this work is going to go away and life will be great for anyone who wants to write a good external memory algorithms?
So that's the idea. The idea is that because PCM is a simpler technology, it's not going to require all these complex interactions that an FTL provides at the current moment. It's not to say that the work will just disappear and not be useful, but it's to say that it will not necessarily be required in order to extract performance from these devices and to manage wear properly on them.
Okay.
I'll ask a question as well. So clearly, in an academic environment, it's a lot of work creating a hardware experiment like this, a prototype. What do you think you learned from it, and do you think it was worth it?
We basically learned that we can make a lot better comparisons from building a real system with other non-volatile systems. It allows us to stand up against those systems very easily without having to work on simulation numbers. We've also learned that designing these sort of systems is actually pretty difficult when you design them physically, as we had a pretty long lead time in order to design all the boards required and then to bring the system up.
Irfan Ahmed, VMware, great presentation and good work. Can you enumerate some reasons why PCM might never happen? As in scale and yield and actually hit the market in significant deployments?
So that would probably be something that someone who has a more understanding of a device level of PCM might be able to answer better than I can. I would say that I'm not familiar with the challenges as to why it wouldn't scale, but if it wouldn't scale, if it doesn't scale to the density that Flash has gotten to, or the density that DRAM has gotten to, or these performance numbers aren't met with newer generation PCM, then it's probably not going to be a successful memory technology. And any reason as to why that would happen is beyond my knowledge, unfortunately.
Okay, also, the interface that you were using here was a NOR interface.
Yes.
What are the other interfaces that are coming down the pike that you'd like to see develop that would make, say, design of what you did easier?
So what would be really great is to have an interface that looks like what was used in Moneta, so a DDR-based interface or some sort of DRAM-style interface. That would be much easier than using the NOR-based interface, just out of sheer speed, probably, being able to interact with it in the same way.
Okay. And can you list some future work that you think needs to be done, maybe on your prototype, or more generally that you think the community needs to look at from the software and storage systems point of view?
Sure. So more work needs to be done, I would say, on integrating, first of all, future generation PCM and seeing how that scales, and seeing how that that affects performance, both at the software and hardware levels of a system like this. Also, I would say that future work should probably investigate, as the question that was asked before, what kind of interfaces would look the best for the PCM to expose to a storage system like this one.
So, to continue along these lines, do you think that there's a role in the near future for PCM in, you know, the highest end SSD marketplace where you find Fusion IO and so on?
Absolutely. I absolutely feel that PCM will have not only a place in that market, but may even overtake that market because of how it's expected to perform in future generations. If we have PCM that looks like DRAM, Flash will pale in comparison. In terms of performance, in terms of complexity, in terms of power, in terms of design time, all these things will go away, hopefully, showing that next generation PCM removes all those things.
What are the time horizons for next generation PCM devices?
I unfortunately have no indication as to what those are.
So one question I have is, when you were doing your benchmarking specifically against Berkeley DB, how large were the items that you were inserting to the database, and what was your page size?
That's something I would have to look up. I'm happy to interface with you afterwards to get those numbers to you. It's not something I remember off the top of my head.
And sort of another off the side question is, you mentioned before you had a transfer buffer. When your benchmarks ran, was that transfer buffer always backlogged?
And could you explain what you mean by backlog?
Well, I mean, you know, since the trans, it seems like, yeah, full. That's what I mean.
Oh, okay. So, the idea was to keep it as full as possible so that you can extract the most performance out of this.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's thank the speaker.